First, I would like to express my appreciation and thanks to this congregation and to your pastor for your love and your faithful support of the ministry there in Mexico for all these years. We're thankful for what the Lord is doing there. I spoke to my mother this morning. You and I are earlier than we are down there in Mexico, and I asked her how things were going, and she said they were going well. And my dad came out of the room. He said, "Switchboard's on early this morning." I wanted to get an update on how things were going there, and the services are going well. The preacher's classes are going well, and I got a word of when am I going to get back? But I'm thankful that he is there preaching in the services in Mérida while I'm here. And anyway, I want to just express our appreciation to you. And we love you, and I know you love us, and we're thankful for your prayers for us and for your pastor also. Looking forward to the day. And I want to speak this morning about the pardon or forgiveness of sins. At the beginning of the service, we read that verse in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. We have redemption. That's not my text, but this is a wonderful text. In him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins. Can it be? Now listen carefully. Can it be, I'm not going to say God will forgive your sins. I'm using the word has. Can it be that God has pardoned or forgiven your sins? If he will, it's because he has. If he will, it's because he has. Can it be that God has pardoned or forgiven your sins? Can it be? Can it be that God has pardoned or forgiven me my sin? Pardon is the act of forgiving an offender by removing the guilt of sin so that the punishment due to the sinner may not be inflicted. Now, the scriptures speak of pardon or forgiveness of sins in many different ways. It's spoken of as a lifting up or taken away. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, is the word, is lifted up. Whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. It's also spoken of as a covering. Forgiven is spoken of as a covering of it. Forgiven is spoken of also of a non-imputation of it. Blessed, thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered their sin. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Forgiveness or pardon of sins is spoken of as a blotting out. Even I, the Lord said, even I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake. And it's also spoken of as a non-remembrance. This is a blessing to me. God will not remember the sins of his people. Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Remember no more. Now, I want to speak about the forgiveness of sins or the pardon of sin and justification. How is justification and pardon of sins they agree on many parts. And without a doubt, listen to this, without a doubt, every sinner who shall be found pardoned in that great day, likewise, is justified. It's justified. But pardon and justification may be distinguished in this way. Pardon and justification may be distinguished this way. An innocent person. Any person in here innocent? I'm not. An innocent person, when falsely accused and acquitted, is justified but not pardoned. know, that lacrosse team. You all heard about that lacrosse team who was accused. They were not pardoned. They were declared innocent. Innocent of the charge. Innocent. A person that is innocent is justified, is declared innocent, but is not pardoned. Justification is the pronouncing of a person righteous. In other words, they've never sinned. That's what justification is. They've never sinned. Now, in Christ Jesus, we're justified. But we're also pardoned. A criminal, that's me, a criminal may be pardoned. A criminal may be pardoned, though he cannot be justified and declared innocent. A criminal may serve a certain amount of time and he is pardoned. Someone may commit a crime and the governor of the state may pardon that person, but he's never justified. He's never justified. Pardon is for men that are sinners and who remain sinners, though pardon sinners. Pardon sinners. Now, pardon frees us from punishment. Pardon frees us from punishment, but does not bring us into everlasting life, but justification does. Justification does. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If we were only pardoned, we would indeed escape the pains of hell, but could have no access, into the presence of God of everlasting enjoyment of the sons of God. We could have no access if we're only pardoned. Through pardon and justification, though pardon and justification may be distinguished, yet they cannot be separated. They cannot be separated. In the Lord Jesus Christ, we have pardon for sins and justification. In reality, they go at the same time. You can't have one without the other. And here's the reason. Here's the reason for that. He that is pardoned by the death of Jesus Christ, we have redemption through His blood. He that is pardoned by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ is at the same time justified through His life, by His life. Look at Romans chapter 5 with me, verse 10. Romans 5, verse 10. It says here, "So for when we were enemies, criminals," 5 verse 10 says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by His death, pardoned by His death, the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." We are saved by His life. Now this morning I want to speak about the forgiveness of sin. I've spoke about the forgiveness or pardon for sin and justification and how you can have one without the other. We're justified by the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was raised for our justification. But I want to talk this morning about the forgiveness of sins. Do you know how it is that God can forgive your sins? Can it be that He has forgiven us our sins? Forgiveness is an act, first of all, is an act of grace. Forgiveness, we sure can't merit it. There's nothing we can do to merit it, to deserve forgiveness. We can't deserve it. The David, the psalmist, when he came in prayer after Nathan came to him and told him of his sin with Bathsheba, he realized he needed to die. He said, "The man, he needs to die. That man shall die." And Nathan said, "Thou art the man." And Nathan said, "Have mercy on me, O Lord. Have mercy. Have mercy on me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness, according to Thy grace, according to the multitude of Thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." Well, that's the first thing. It's grace. No man can merit it. God's forgiveness must be done in a way that He is just. God's forgiveness, secondly, is it must be done in a way that He is just. How can He justly forgive sins? We know this. He does so. The Scriptures plainly tell us there in 1 John chapter 1, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. It's in the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us of all our sins. He's faithful and He's just. And the forgiveness of God must be complete. It must be every sin. Not 99.9% of our sins, but every one of them. Bless God, sins past, sins present, and sins future. Sins past, sins present, and sins future. The psalmist said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, and healeth all thy diseases." He cleanses us from all sin. And God's forgiveness must be forever. That is, never repealed. Never taken back. Never repealed. He, as we read there in the class there this morning or in the office, our sins are cast into the depths of the sea. It's forever. And never to be repealed. Never to be brought up again. Never to be dug up again. And there's nothing a man can do to procure this forgiveness. It is the grace of God. Now I want us to look this morning at four passages. Now the question I ask is, can it be that God has forgiven us our sins? I want us to look at four passages in the New Testament where the phrase "spared not," in each one of these passages you'll find the word "spared not." "Spared not" is used showing that God did not forgive. God did not forgive. And it is my prayer that after seeing these four passages, you may be able to see how it is that God can forgive sins. How it is that God can forgive sins. And seeing how He may forgive sins, you may have hope that He has forgiven your sins. Forgiven your sins. Now the word used is "did not spare," for when God does not spare, when God does not forgive, He does not spare. When God does not forgive, He does not spare. Here's the first text. It's found in 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse 4. "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down into hell, and delivered them up into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." Here's the first time I want us to consider God did not spare the angels that sinned. The Scriptures tell us that Satan, the archangel, was lifted up in pride. This is the sin that the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy there in 1 Timothy chapter 3, when laying hands on a man for the ministry, says, don't do it soon. Says in verse 6, not a novice. Don't lay hands on any novice, lest being lifted up in the pride, he fall into condemnation of the devil. This was the sin of Satan. Pride. Pride. And Satan's rebellion was against God's Christ. We have there in Isaiah chapter 14. In Isaiah chapter 14, here's what Satan said. "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Here's what God says: "You'll be brought down to hell in the sides of the pit." He lifted himself up. Let's look at that. Isaiah 14. It says, Isaiah 14, verse 12. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Hearts are cut down to the ground which did weaken the nations. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. I will be like, here's what he's saying, I'll be like Jesus Christ. He is the Most High. He is the only one sitting on that throne. There's a man sitting in glory. The man Christ Jesus. But here's a creation lower than the creation of the angels. Made him a little lower than the angels. But God has crowned him with glory and with honor. And Satan said, I won't bow to him. I won't bow to him. He was lifted up with pride. He said, I'll be like the Most High. And he was cast down. He was cast down. Well, were they spared? A third of the angels fell. A third of the angels fell with Lucifer that day, that time. And they're reserved. We read in our text, it says they're reserved in chains of darkness. There's no hope for them. God did not pardon. God did not pardon. Here's the second one. If you got your text open there again to 2 Peter chapter 2. Not only did God not pardon the angels that fell, God did not pardon also the old world. 2 Peter 2, verse 5 said, and spared not the old world. He's speaking of the flood, Noah. When God, it says there in Genesis chapter 6, if you look with me, Genesis chapter 6, God looked down and saw that the imagination of the man was only evil continually. And this is talking about you and I right now. This is a commentary of man by nature. And if any man denies this, the Lord hadn't shown him this. But this is who we are by nature. And it says, chapter 6 and verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. Evil continually. And God had determined he's going to do away with this. He's going to wipe the earth. He's going to send a flood. And he spared not the old world. How many millions of people lived on the face of the earth at that time? How many were saved? He spared not the whole world. Noah and seven others. Look here at in chapter 7, verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the seventh day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken. Who broke these fountains up? God did that. God, he spared not the whole world, the old world. They were broken up. And the windows of heaven were open. And millions of people died and perished. And are right now in hell. He spared not the whole world. Can it be that he has forgiven me? Can it be that he has forgiven me? Well, look here at the third one is in Romans chapter 11. Third time we see this word spared not is in Romans chapter 11. Now, the Apostle Paul here is speaking to the Gentile believers, and he said, don't puff yourself up over the Jews. Don't puff yourself up over the Jews. You've been put into the vine against nature. You've been put into the vine. And God was severe with them, but he could put them back in the vine. The Apostle Paul said this, I am what I am by the grace of God. Don't puff yourself up. We are who we are. If we know the Lord Jesus Christ, it's grace. It's grace. But it says here in Romans chapter 11, verse 21, "For if God spared not the natural branches," he's speaking about the natural descendants of Abraham, "he spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee." Take heed. Don't puff yourself up. It says here, verse 18, read verse 18. "Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast," think about this, "you don't bear Christ up. You don't bear the root up, but the root's holding you up. That will say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And thou standest by faith." Well, that faith you have is a gift of God. "Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God." The goodness of God manifested to you, and that you're in the branch, but the severity against those that believe not. Will he forgive? Will he pardon? Well, here's the fourth one. Romans chapter 8. And I believe right here we'll see. I trust you'll see how it is that God can forgive and how it is God has forgiven the sins of his people. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. "He that spared not his own son." You see that? He spared not. He forgave not his own son. When the sin of his people was laid on him, the scriptures say he was made sin for us. When God took the sin of his people and he was made sin for us, he suffered. God turned his back on him. He forgave him not. And he suffered and bled and died on Calvary. He spared not his own son, but delivered him up. Delivered him up unto death. The death that his people, the death of those whom he loved, the death of those whom God the Father gave him, the death of those whom chose before the foundation of the world. He died the death. He died the death. The God's justice cried, "Awake, O sword. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd." The Lord Jesus Christ died in the place, in the room of his people. He died to put away the sins of his people. This is how God can forgive you. This is how God can forgive his people. Because he did not forgive his son. He did not spare his son. You see, it says here, "He that spared not his own son," God manifest in the flesh, his own son. God spared not his own son. Who is he? Who is he that was not spared? His own son. Who is he that is not spared? It's Jehovah, God the Son, manifest in the flesh. We cannot understand this, but what gives value to the death of the Lord Jesus Christ is that he is God. He is God. What gives value to what sanctified the offering of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ was that his deity. He is God. He spared not his own son. Our Lord cried, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why hast thou forsaken me?" He was forsaken of God. That you will never hear these words. You who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll never hear that. You'll never cry out, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" He'll never, never, never leave his people. Because he left his son. Spared not his own son, but delivered him, look at this word, for us. For us all. Now, you see their substitution for us in the place of his people. He was made sin for us who knew no sin. that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. But who is this us all? Who is this us all? Now you know that Christ, when He died on the cross, when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, He did not die to put away the sins of all the people who have ever lived in this world. He died to put away the sins of His people. Well, how does it say us all there? Well, the us all is modified. The all, let me try to say this. The all there is modified by the word us. Us all. If I say us all in this building, I'm talking about us all in this building. The all is modified by the word us, or His elect. If you look back in let's go back to 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. It's talking about His elect. It's talking about those who love God. And if anybody loves God, it's because God first loved them. For whom He did foreknow, that's who He's talking about, whom He loved before the foundation of the world. Then He also did predestinate to be conformed to His image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, then He also called. The us are the called ones, called by the Holy Spirit in time, by the preaching of the gospel. And them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for, here's the us here. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, God be for His people, His chosen people, those whom He loved, those for whom He gave His life, who can be against us? He spared not His Son. And then it says here, how shall He not? Look over that verse again. He that spared not His own Son. You see that? The Lord Jesus Christ was made sin. He went to the cross and died. Who it was, He delivered Him up for us all. When He did that for a purpose. How shall He not fulfill His purpose? His purpose was to send His Son to redeem His people, to bring them to glory. How shall He not do that? That's His purpose. How shall He not do that? He's already given His Son. How shall He not give us all things that were given to us in His Son? All the things that His Son did to procure, to win this ours and His, and in Him. How shall He not also with Him freely give us all things? With Him, He's not dead. He's alive. He delivered. He went to the cross and died. He was buried. On the third day He rose. He lives forever. How shall He not with Him? He delivered Him. Now He's going to give us. Now He's going to freely give us all things with Him who is risen. Who is risen. Freely give us all things. He's risen for our justification in Him. The Scripture says in 1 Corinthians, but of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And redemption. He's given us all things freely. Now, this is how God, it says here, four times God did not forgive. God spared not, because where He does not spare, He did not forgive. And this last one right here, He spared not His only Son, but delivered Him up for us all. Do you see how God can forgive sins? Do you see how God can forgive sin? He has forgiven the sins of His people in the death of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how the glory of God. This is how the glory of God is revealed. We read in the text there at the class this morning. The glory of God is revealed. It turned here at the Exodus chapter 34, when God I think I'll stop right here. In Exodus 34, when Moses asked the Lord, "Show me your glory," let's look at verse 6. "And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed," this is the name of the Lord Jehovah, Jehovah God, "merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving," listen to this, "iniquity and transgression and sin." Forgiving. Iniquity, transgression, and sin. "Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children under the third and fourth generation." I missed this. Here it is. I'm going to read it again. Verse 7. "Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty." How does he do that? He cannot clear you. I'm guilty. He cannot clear me. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, he's forgiven my transgressions, my iniquity, and my sins. Iniquity. That's things you do. I got this from your pastor this morning. I got into the, my dad calls it the Lexington. It's the lexicon. And I got to looking at these words, and iniquity, just perverseness, wickedness. I'm wicked. Wicked. But the wickedness man do, or the wickedness, is the things we do, the good we do. That's the wickedness. And transgression is treason or rebellion. That's the bad stuff we do. Rebellion against just authority and sin. That's who we are. That's what we are. Bless God, he says, it says here in our text, verse 7, "forgiven iniquity and transgression and sin, and they will by no means clear the guilty." And one more text, you could take this home with you, Ephesians 1:7, "in whom we have forgiveness of sin," the redemption. Let's look at that one more time, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." Isn't that precious? That's precious. "According to the riches of his grace." May the Lord bless his word.